Hello everyone, welcome to the Smashy Business Show, yet another episode, and it's Friday today, it's the 25th of October, and it's the week, last weekday of the week, finally, the weekend is here, we can relax a little, spend time with family, but the business world doesn't stop, so you can follow us on all our socials for the news of the weekend. But you will miss us for the show because we'll come back on Monday. We do the show Monday to Friday. Thank you very much if you have joined us already. And thank you very much for later, if you're watching it later. But today we're going to talk about a lot of stuff again, as usual. I have Farah Bashir with me. She is my co-host since the last 2 weeks. And I really appreciate her help. Thank you so much, Farah.
Thank you. Thank you for the beautiful introduction.
How's your day?
Well, my day is good. As I said, it's Friday.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better than the taste of like Friday.
Yeah. So any weekend plans or like anything you're doing? Especially like, oh, I have to do this at least in the 2 days that I get for the weekend.
Well, I am thinking of spending more time with my family and my sister because, you know, she's cabin crew and I don't get to spend a lot of time with her. You never know what country she is flying to or coming from. So that is very kind of like confusing, but yeah, I would want to spend time with her.
And catch up on some sleep, I guess.
100%.
That's the go-to plan for
catch
weekends.
Catch up on some sleep.
Yeah. So let's move on and let's talk about the big things that happened. Just a small intro of BRICS and the summary of BRICS. BRICS happened in Kazan, Russia on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Mm-hmm. 3 days. It continued. A lot of state leaders, a lot of head of states, including our UAE president, he was there, Indian Prime Minister was there, Chinese Premier was there, the Russian president was hosting it, everyone was there. So that happened, the Kazan Declaration came out of it on the second day. The Kazan Declaration we talked about in detail yesterday's show, so if you're listening and you want to listen whatever the Kazan Declaration was about, you can go to our previous show, yesterday's show, and listen to it. Mainly, it talked about a centralized system where all the countries would be able to eventually, when the system comes in place, pay each other in their local currencies. Apart from that, yesterday they took a whole family photo. I don't know why they called it a family photo, but 36 state leaders came together and took a family photo. And then later, UN Secretary General was also there. And Antonio Guterres was invited by the BRICS countries. It was very last minute. No one knew if he will come or not because Russia's invasion of Ukraine is right now still a very hot topic. And UN has criticized them for a lot for doing whatever they're doing. So no one knew if he'll come or not, but he came. And he said that that we all must live as one big family. And to that, Russian president replied very nicely that this is exactly what we have been, how we have been living our life. Unfortunately, families often have quarrels and scandals and may have to split their assets. And he continued and said sometimes their disputes become physical as well. So this is how the Russian president replied. It was a very good tongue-in-cheek moment by the Russian president, but he said a lot of interesting things throughout BRICS. So if you haven't followed it up, go follow, see what happened during BRICS. It's a very big conference, and it's a sign of the power dynamics, the economic power dynamics shifting towards the East. Apart from that, the FII event, Future Investment Initiatives, their conference, 8th edition, under the theme Infinite Horizons, Investing Today, Shaping Tomorrow, is taking place in Riyadh next week. Mm-hmm. The whole week will be events, but the main events are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The unofficial side events are on Monday as well, on Friday as well, the breakfasts, the networking lunches, all that. So yeah, October 29th to 31, mark your calendars, FII event is happening. And it's important because recently Richard Attias, who is the member of the board of directors of the FII Institute and the CEO, he said that the total value of international deals to be revealed are nearly $28 billion, which will be revealed at the event. That's a big number.
Big number. That is a huge number. Honestly, to be honest with you, speaking of the investment that is actually going to be happening and the conferences and all of that, this is very expected, honestly, for Saudi. This is like, it's only the beginning, I believe, because like we do talk all the time about how it keeps on I would say, showing up in different ways, yeah. New projects, new investments, tadawul to OPEC, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah, right now you can't ignore mm-hmm. Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So apparently the 28 billion will be divided, and the sectors that are going to be covered are food, entertainment, renewable energy, cybersecurity, and sports. So let's see, we'll keep an eye out on it. You can follow our show, you can follow our newsletter, you can follow us on social media to see what's happening at the FII event. The stories today are a little different. They're not very hardcore business-based, but they're linked to business. First of all, YouTube, one of the biggest streaming platforms in the world, that is it. YouTube is big. TikTok is gaining popularity. Instagram has its Reels. Facebook has its Reels, but YouTube is YouTube. They've dominated viewer preference in Saudi Arabia and UAE. Recently, an event happened that's called Brandcast by YouTube, and it happened in Saudi Arabia. So YouTube revealed new viewer behavior data at the event, and it showed that the top platform in Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Qatar was YouTube. So they asked, one of the questions they asked was, if you had the option to choose one platform mm-hmm. for the whole year and no other platforms, mm-hmm. what will you choose? Nearly more than 70 to 80% of the people, including the Gen Z, the newer generation, yeah. they said YouTube. So this is a very big sign
this
for
is,
our same question
look,
to you. One platform,
one
if you
platform,
could choose.
One platform. I mean,
for the whole year, you can't use anything else.
The whole year. To be honest with you, I love YouTube. However, I would choose TikTok.
Yeah.
Because,
why?
Look, for I'll tell you something about Gen Z is that we have a very short attention span. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if I'm watching
YouTube.
But
YouTube has
TV
shorts
show,
for that, right?
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I
you
haven't,
don't get the feeling.
You don't get the feeling of like TikTok, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Because like TikTok is like, I don't know. I love YouTube. I was a YouTube girly when I was like
yeah.
growing up. But for me, like TikTok, because Gen Z, they are, for example, like if I'm watching mm-hmm. a show,
yeah,
I cannot focus on the show if there is not something else that I'm doing on the side, which is like scrolling
wow.
on TikTok. And if I want, sorry about that, but if I have a question, I go and search it on TikTok.
Yeah, that is one of the things
yeah.
that I'm really interested in finding out. I read about it a few articles here and there. And usually people compare TikTok with Instagram because nearly the same model. TikTok never came out to question YouTube's authority.
Yeah.
They came out to question Instagram's authority because Instagram, again, pictures and videos.
Mm-hmm.
So the best USP that they marketed and then they built upon was their search feature, actually.
Yeah.
Because Instagram search feature, if you've used it, you know, even finding a normal account which is like verified is very difficult. You place one A and E there and it'll
and
be like,
gone.
No, I don't
yeah.
know what you're talking
yeah.
about. On TikTok, you can
yeah.
be sure that if you're trying to find something and even if you misspell it, you will get somehow to that account or that person or
mm-hmm.
that video. So their search feature is really great. Not me saying, experts saying
yeah.
that. So yeah, YouTube.
I mean, I love YouTube, you know, and of course, like part of YouTube's great popularity is because 85% of the viewers are Saudi viewers and they feel connected to YouTube creators.
Yeah.
And I understand because like most of the YouTube creators are actually Saudi and they do it in a very beautiful
yeah.
way. And as well, 87% are of the UAE audience, which by the way, I do agree on that and in that aspect. However, like as Farah, as I am like going throughout my day with work and everything, I for sure go towards like TikTok, and as well I think YouTube is gaining a lot of popularity because of their ads, you know, output that they actually do perform on the videos. If you open a YouTube video, for sure you can there's like an ad or like a vlog, you know what I mean? Some people do enjoy watching vlogs,
yeah,
which is not very TikTok like. However, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like, I love YouTube. I really do. I used to be a YouTube girly, but yeah.
But YouTube is good for long form.
Yeah.
It's always been good for long form. And TikTok is now trying to go for long form videos, because now whenever you try to upload a video on TikTok, whenever I'm using it, I don't usually upload a lot, but sometimes when you're uploading it, they give you a notification or something that your videos more than 1 minute are doing better on TikTok, so you should post at that. So YouTube now, sorry, TikTok now is questioning YouTube's authority. Yes. They're trying to go into their domain as well of long form videos. And let's see, it's always a war. It's always a war between social media platforms to get users and get more engagement. But TikTok, I really like the fact that they push your video themselves to some audience and see where it's gaining attraction from. And if it does good in the first 5-6 minutes, it'll give you a boost itself. Yeah. On Instagram, the algorithm is crazy. You'll do the same video, same time, same everything, perfectly same everything on the same times. It'll be completely different results. So no one has figured out the Instagram algorithm. But coming back to YouTube, so what we saw was that YouTube reaches over 12 million people in Saudi Arabia and 2.5 million in the UAE through connected TV as well, capturing a massive portion of the online audience. Their ads outperform, as Farah said, that if you place an ad on YouTube, according to their study and the Kantar study. Kantar is a research, very simple words, they do research for other brands. And they tell you, they do surveys for you. It's a London-based company. So they did a research for YouTube as well. Again, it's not a sponsored survey. They do all the research for you as an outsider, so it's trustable. So Kantar said that the YouTube ads usually outperform ads on other platforms. The conversion rate is better when you put an ad on YouTube. So that's the good part. Good news for YouTube and the MENA region YouTube. So let's move on. That's the main story. YouTube is doing great in Saudi Arabia and UAE across the MENA region. Let's move to another streaming platform, StarzPlay. The CEO applauded Dubai Place for crackdown on IPTV piracy. So Maaz Sheikh, the CEO and co-founder of StarzPlay, publicly praised Dubai Place for the decisive action against illegal IPTV operations that pirated premium content is being uploaded there. And for example, if you pay Netflix 40, 50 dirhams or like 10, 12, $15, you can get the same thing on IPTV for free. So he was very against it. He talked about the raid that was, he linked the article which said the raid was conducted on September 16. It targeted the website primeprude.com. I'm not telling you the website so you can go now, it's closed down. So it illegally sold IPTV boxes, providing access to over 12,000 pirated channels. So a lot of channels you pay to watch their pay-per-view. So 12,000 pirated channels. I wanted this box, but I now know it's illegal. So yeah, I should buy subscriptions. And the move is a response to the criminal complaint by Disney Star, highlighting serious breaches in broadcasting rights and the damage caused to content creators and broadcasters. So it's a very good move coming from Dubai police, especially.
Look, we know that, you know, Dubai and Dubai police, they combat a lot of crimes, whether it is like an actual crime or whether even if it is like an e-crime, technological crime. And piracy, maybe people do not really quite understand it, maybe people do not really quite take it seriously, but it's actually a huge big deal because like they don't understand that the, let's say like StarzPlay, they have a show that is only broadcasted on their channel. And then it's being piracy is being implemented for the show. It's somewhere else for free. Then they are not going to be getting any views. They are not going to be getting any outcome that they are going to be that they actually expected beforehand. And I think that is unfair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like because like for sure like StarzPlay they must have. Put in a lot of work for the production.
Yeah, you put
for
in
getting in the
show. You put in
show.
Like millions of dollars at 100%. Least for a show, and you expect to get a payout through subscription, through everything, and eventually people are watching it for free, streaming it.
Yeah, I mean, I do understand like the people who go like, oh yeah, you know, I want it for free. What if I don't like it? But maybe like for sure, like there are like some. Trailers for the shows, you know, you can tell you like if you're gonna like the show
think
or not.
The problem with these pirated sites is that some countries don't have access to certain channels. For example, in Pakistan, Disney Plus is not there. So usually, when there was a show coming on Disney Plus, I would have to go and find a source because I can't download the app. I can't watch it. I can't pay. I can't legally watch Disney Plus in Pakistan. So that was a problem. So people in Pakistan go to other places and find that content and watch it. I know it's wrong, but the streaming platforms need to make it a global thing as well, that they can go global, go to every country and give their content and give access to their content.
Yeah.
Paid content, no problem. Yeah. People are ready to pay for it. Spotify came to Pakistan, I remember, like 4 or 5 years ago, and people paid for it. People had the option of YouTube. Mm-hmm. People had the option of, I remember, SoundCloud. There's a lot of things that they had the option of free listening. But they went and paid for Spotify, and then they got the playlist and everything ready.
Yeah.
So people are ready to pay for it, even in underdeveloped and developing nations. You just need to create that demand and go into those markets.
Yeah.
So that is like, I think it's that problem as well. So just a few numbers, sorry, adding. In US, nearly 51.6 billion economic billion dollars in economic losses are there annually because of piracy. It's not a small number.
See,
I was also like, what?
This is exactly billion? This is exactly what I mean, because like, if you want to think about it in that way, is that people do not understand how they are actually affecting the media industry in that way, and how they are affecting those streaming platforms.
And it's also a problem for the people who are working in these industries, because once, for example, a movie is out, you spend $1 million, for example, on it, and you don't get returns. Obviously, next time there will be lesser projects, because people who are paying the money, $100 million, they want their return.
That's true.
So if they were using 10 cameramen, they'll now use 5, because they know they have to cut down the budget, because piracy will not let them earn enough. So yeah, jobs are also a problem. Out of the nearly, I'll just say nearly 50 billion, because it's 51.6, becomes confusing. So 50.6 billion lost economically due to piracy. And in the US, this number is from US, sorry, I couldn't find anything on MENA region, but 29 billion out of this 50 billion is only on video piracy. So there's music piracy, there's a lot of different kinds of piracy that happens.
Yeah.
So nearly 30, like a lot of money is being lost, 60% of this 50
a
billion
lot, of
on
course.
Only video piracy.
Of course, for sure, you know what I mean? It's like, that is, it's one thing to not have the ability to access those things in your country. And it's another thing that you don't want to pay.
Yeah.
You know, that, by the way, they're not even that expensive. They're probably like, what, like, I would say 20 dirhams.
Yeah, for example, I have like 4 or 5 streaming platforms at my home right now, because my wife watches a lot of series on different channels. I pay nearly 100 dirham for all of them.
Exactly. I mean,
for a month. It's nothing. It's just
nothing,
like one burger is 85 dirham, that five guys.
So
eating one burger and getting a whole subscription for a month, for that amount for 5 platforms is good enough, I guess.
That is for sure true. And not only that, it's like, as well, you know, like by when the Dubai police, they are not only protecting media, but they as well want, like, they want to create like this like environment for content creators and the content creation in general to actually be more innovative in the region, because like in that, as you said earlier, that if that's going to be continuing to happen, piracy is still there, content creation is going to be a problem, and it's going to go down to like almost
another problem. I think again, when I was reading about piracy mainly, was that the cost of subscription has gone up. For example, I pay 100 dirhams, but not everyone can afford 100 dirhams a month.
Yeah.
It's not like a universal number that everyone can afford. But Netflix, I remember, Disney Plus, I remember, their subscription fees have doubled since their launch. So if people started with $10, now they're paying $20. And some people don't want that kind of extra money to go away. In the US especially, again, reading more US reports. In the US especially, recently when we talked about boycotts, sorry, another tangent, but somewhat related. When we talked about boycotts and we talked about the losses that the global empires of McDonald's, KFCs, Pizza Huts, all these big brands were facing, one of the reasons was boycott, but there was always another reason attached to it, that was the purchasing power of the people in the US. And in the MENA region, it's mostly like 90% boycott related losses. But in the US and in the major developed countries, Europe, etc., the purchasing power of the people has gone down. That is why they couldn't afford those brands like McDonald's and KFCs and all the fast food big chains. That is why they were not buying enough. So purchasing power is another factor that these streaming platforms need to cater to.
And piracy, by the way, is like boycotting.
Yeah, it's like boycotting. You want to watch the show, but you don't want to pay. Yeah.
And therefore, you're not going to be allowing the creative industry to actually grow because you're not paying. So how will they
Because you think the brand that is associated with the piece of content that you want to watch is basically supporting any genocide or doing something wrong in the world. There can be ethical reasons, moral reasons. There can be hundreds of political reasons. But yeah, there. Good discussion that there can be 1 million reasons for people, not only that they want free stuff, it can be they don't have the purchasing power, it can be that it's not available in their region, so they're stealing it from some website. So it's not just the reason that people want it for free. Good debunking. So yeah, that happened. A little more on the news, coming back to Starz Play. IPTV piracy is a major issue globally, costing economies thousands of jobs and billions in revenue. As we talked about, only US is facing like $50 billion annual loss, $50 billion, not dirhams. So by disrupting several operations, the way is in reinforcing its commitment to intellectual property protection, safeguarding the future of the media industry, and preserving jobs in the sector. So good, very good move from the way police. And very good that the people who reported it, they wanted action on it. That's the good part. For platforms like Starz Play, fighting piracy is essential to ensure continued growth of original content production and the creation of region-specific programming. Starz Play will continue to collaborate with local authorities to combat piracy, all this stuff. But mainly the idea is that pirated content is there.
Again, it's there.
Just
it's there,
remembered one more number that illegal video streaming sites, not other site, and it just doesn't include movies and series. It also includes sports. So again, giving an example from my country, Pakistan, or the region as well, some of the MMA matches were not streamed live. There was no pay-per-view system there, so you had to go and find a stream where you can watch it. So a lot of people who I knew were fans of MMA, never was a fan, but a lot of people who were a fan, they would have to find a streaming site. It has a lot of ads. It's
a
task,
itself
chaotic. Just to stream
it
that.
But people wanted access
to this, and they didn't have legal ways, so they did that. It's not like we're endorsing it. It's completely wrong. It's very wrong to the economy, to the producers, to everyone. But sometimes people have an option, and we're not justifying it. They should, again, find legal ways. Watch it on recap somewhere, or maybe watch the highlights on the official pages. But the streaming platforms need to increase their accessibility as well. Dubai, let's talk about Dubai more, has unveiled Ignite, which is a platform, a digital platform aimed at accelerating the growth of over 100,000 startups and entrepreneurs. The platform was unveiled by His Highness Sheikh Hamdan bin Mohammed, the Crown Prince of Dubai. And it is developed by the Dubai International Financial Center as a part of the Dubai Digital Economy Strategy. Ignite aims to connect founders to a global network of investors, mentors, and government partners, offering exclusive perks and resources to help them thrive.
I think, honestly, that is amazing, because like the importance of Ignite, it's not only going to support startups, it will support startups, it will attract talent, and as well it will support Dubai's economic growth, because we know that the UAE not only has a vision for 2030, but as well it has a digital economy vision for 2032. And this will all align together to improve the startup growth, the technological advancements, and as well attracting more talent, because they're expecting to draw in 5,000 venture capitalists and as well 5,000 valid mentors and 500 corporate and governmental partners.
So yeah, if you're part of that this platform, you can gain access to all these people, 5,000 venture capitalists, 5,000 veteran mentors, and 500 corporate and government partners, pitch their your idea maybe and get access. So it's a very good networking opportunity. And it by providing perks, all these perks, Ignite aims to save startups over $100 million. So it's a good move. Let's see how it goes about. Dubai has 1 million things going on for startups. I remember there's a visa for gamers. There's like 100 things that they're going on. Because again, I remember that number. I've always quoted this number. there's like 90% of the companies in Dubai are SMEs, small and medium enterprises, less than 20 people in their staff. So those companies are the main people who run Dubai. We talk about a lot of big companies and everything, but SMEs are the heart of Dubai's economics. And these startups are part of SMEs. Eventually, they grow up to become SMEs or are SMEs in essence. So these, getting help for them through different initiatives, yes, is the best thing Dubai is doing for everyone in Dubai.
Especially. Yes, and as mentioned earlier, like, it will all support the economy because, like, you know, like, right now these small startups are getting a lot of recognition and attention.
Yeah.
Right now, and we have seen that as well through JITEX the past week.
Thank you very much. We discussed a lot of things. If you want to listen to anything, if you missed anything, if you've joined us in the middle, just go to our YouTube, go in the live section, or go to the Smashy TV app, subscribe, and get access to all the shows that we do from Monday to Friday every week. Saturday and Sunday, we won't be there, but obviously, we'll come back on Monday and give you the news of the weekend. Thank you very much for joining us. Follow us on all our socials, Smashy Business. Just type that and you'll find it. Instagram will cause problems, always causes problems, but TikTok won't. So yeah, go find Smashy Business, follow us, get updates from the business world, entrepreneur world, startup world, everything on your phone, on your desktop, whatever device you prefer. And keep updated with the MENA's latest news. Thank you very much for joining us. We've launched a WhatsApp channel. We'll put it on all our socials as well, so you can join that WhatsApp channel soon. Thank you very much. After this, at 11, we have a Smashy Sports Show. So watch that if you're interested in sports as well. Thank you very much. This is a Smashy Business Show, part of the Smashy Business Production, which is part of the larger Augustus Media Podcast Network. We have 1.3 million listeners.
I was waiting for that.
I will always tell you. We have 1.3 million listeners monthly. If you're a part of that, thank you very much for listening to us. Take care. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.